Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback episode number 400. As this week we bring you the second half of World Class Championship Wrestling Parade of Champions 3. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil, joined today by my co-host, the other half of the Watch Along Tag Team Champions of the World, Shane Shadows. Now, Shane, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine and return to 1986, where the role of Lance Von Erich will be played by Ted McGinley?
Caught me off guard with that one. Yes, absolutely. Been waiting all week for it.
Yeah, that's kind of the goal here. And speaking of catching us off guard, ladies and gentlemen, making his return as a guest this week, and always welcome on the show, by the way, when he's not busy on taping day, Mr. Jim Valley returns. Jim, founder of the show. How are you?
Pat, Shane, what an honor to be on the 400th episode.
Yeah.
400 shows, 7 minutes of entertainment. It's incredible.
We're going to have to, you're going to have to speak more into the microphone.
Several minutes of entertainment.
Yes, we will have several minutes of entertainment. And Shane's dog is joining us for the 400th episode.
Special appearance by Fisco.
There you go. You don't get this every week. Really. All right, so when last we left our heroes, we were getting ready to do the second half of Parade of Champions show. And first of all, I would like to thank the good people of the United States of America for getting us back on the wrestling charts this week. As we once again, as we jump up, over 120 spots this week. So it's nice to actually be back on the charts. We appreciate that. And we thank the good freedom-loving people wherever you are in this world for listening to Way Back Playback on this very special day. Because Jim, it not only is it Backlash Day, it is Mother's Day.
Well, that's right. It's WrestleMania Backlash.
It's Backlash Day and Mother's Day.
Yeah. Well, taking the long watch Backlash.
Well, I'm sure we'll watch it later. I mean, well, see, Backlash has a six-man tag, and today, right here on Way Back Playback, we're going to see a six-man tag.
We should have watched this on Father's Day.
Yeah, well, maybe we should have. All right, you're going to need to speak into the mic again.
Sorry. We'll do it in honor of Doris.
Okay, there we go. All right, so Shane, are we there?
Yes, absolutely. Can you hear me? Am I speaking into the microphone clearly?
You get a little closer, but that's okay. All right. So your dog has, let's see.
Please.
So your dog has pooped all over the refrigerator and eaten an entire wheel of cheese?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And not
we're ready. Let's get into the cultural stuff. We'll discuss where we were in the world on May 4th, 1986. A very good year for some of us. Let's see. All right. Your New York Times bestsellers, A Perfect Spy by John le Carré, first week at number one, and You're Only Old Once by Dr. Seuss, at its seventh week at number one. And you might only be old once, but it sure feels like more than once. So there you go. All right, Jim, you ready for this one? The number one Billboard song on the charts, May 4th, 1986. First week at number one.
Oh, Sheila.
Oh, no, close. Shane, you want to try?
I think it's Sue Sue Studio by Phil Collins.
That's a good choice, too, but it's closer to the truth to say you can't get enough. You're going to have to face it. You're addicted to love. It's Robert Palmer.
Oh, good. Yeah. Robert Palmer and the dancing, whatever.
And the dancing Gina Davises from that Saturday Night Live sketch. Yes. That's what I think about when I think of that song. All right, now, this is going to be a deep cut here. Top movie in the country, JoJo Dancer, Your Life is Calling, starring Richard Pryor and Debbie Allen.
That's for real? Really?
One week, yeah. First and only week number one.
That is a deep cut.
Yeah. It's a little awkward, so let's move on to top news story. Oh, speaking of awkward, a Delta rocket explodes a minute after a liftoff at Cape Canaveral, Florida. And yes, that is NASA's second high-profile rocket failure after they blew up the Space Shuttle Challenger. Yes, so.
Yeah, things that weren't going so well in that program there for in 1986.
Yeah, that was not recommended, by the way. All right, let's try something else here. Oh, it's the NBA playoffs, of course. The NBA Eastern Conference semifinals were going on. On this Sunday, the Atlanta Hawks beat the Boston Celtics in Atlanta 106-90. Boston was up 3-0. Atlanta cuts it to 3-1. 37 points for Dominique Wilkins, including 15 of 15 from the free throw line. Kevin McHale had 26 to lead the Celtics, and I'm pretty sure the Celtics won the championship that year anyway. So there you go.
I think you're right.
Good times. And for Shane, yes, ABC has Sunday afternoon baseball on. It's the Cardinals at the Dodgers. The Cardinals win 3-1, a big day for Bob Forsch. He held the Dodgers to 3 hits and 6 1/3. He then hit it. He also hit a double to left, got to third on a wild pitch by Oral Hershiser, then scored from third on a second wild pitch from Oral Hershiser. That's a big day.
Good Lord. Yep. Yeah, who did they play? The Dodgers versus who?
St. Louis.
So did Ken Forsch pitch that day as well? Because he pitched, I believe, for St. Louis for a couple of years. Bob's brother.
Yeah, that's true. No, I don't think he pitched that day. But
way back, playback baseball edition. Okay.
Also, yeah, it's also 1986. It's worth noting Al Michaels is announcing that game too. Al Michaels a deal with Al Michaels made a deal with the devil some 50 years ago, and you know.
So. Yeah, and he was 65 then.
Yeah, I know. That's it's amazing.
Yeah, unreal.
No, we love Al Michaels. That's going to be yeah. He's the
we
star.
Have him on the show next week.
Oh yeah, well yeah, we definitely should have him on. Yes, him and Ken Dryden. Okay. All right, so I think we're up to speed now. We'll be back after the break. Hi, and we're back. I'm Pat McNeil. He's Shane Shadows. How you doing, Shane?
I'm wonderful, Patrick. I'm looking forward to what we're about to take on here.
So we got to talk. First thing we got to talk about is the Wayback Playback Trucker hats.
Absolutely.
The mere $25, and you contact Shane to purchase one.
Yes. Anywhere in the continental United States between now and Easter, and actually I think we'll extend that deal through Memorial Day weekend.
If you want to extend the deal through Memorial Day weekend, I think we can do that.
I think we can do that. We have that liberty, and I think we're just going to go ahead and exercise it. We're going to extend the deal for your weekend anywhere in the continental U.S. It ships for free, $25. The beautiful brand new logo on a complete trucker hat with the mesh backing. If your head's too big to fit in, I apologize, but otherwise it's adjustable, so you can make it fit.
Well, hopefully we don't have people whose heads are that big, but you never know. Anyway, yeah, we invite you to check that out. Also, I'd like to point out that we have a patron. It's at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And I'd like to welcome our newest member, Andrew from New York, who joined the Time Travelers tier this past week. Way to go, Andrew.
Andrew, thank you so very much.
Yes.
Appreciate the support. To me, when people pay for the extra tiers, it's telling me that they're enjoying what they're here on a week-to-week basis. And hopefully I'm contributing something strongly to those type of decisions. So thank you, and tell your friends and tell your family.
Yes, tell your friends about the show and your family. That's always welcome here. Now, something that we are going to do, and something we talked about before, if you're in the Time Traveler tier, the $4.89 a month gets you our shows, our complete archive of our shows, gets you the shows in advance and the shows without commercials, which are three very cool things. We're also going to throw in one of our bonus episodes, just your access to it as a thank you for joining us here on Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And I'm going to extend this offer through all 3 weeks of our TNA Bound for Glory watch along. The episode that we're going to give you is the bonus episode we're going to give you is the one we just completed, the 2-hour and 35-minute watch along of Heroes of Wrestling, the 1999 pay-per-view that myself, Bob Cook, and Shane Shadows just finished up. And such memorable matches as George the Animal Steel against Greg Valentine, Tully Blanchard versus Stan Lane, and of course Jimmy Snuka versus Bob Orton, and the main event as it aired on DirecTV. And you can watch along on YouTube. You don't need Peacock or the network. It's sort of the perfect storm for you, folks. If you anybody who wants to see that instead of Part 2 of WrestleMania or in addition to Part 2 of WrestleMania. Absolutely, we would love to have you here.
I don't think there's any doubt that the effort is put in here on a week-to-week basis to put the strongest, most observant intelligent and entertaining effort that we have between collectively the two of us, which more is the pity. But again, people, we enjoy doing the show. We glad you enjoy listening to the show. And we're going to bring you all kinds of stuff. We've been talking, Patrick and I, we've got all kinds of plans for this program coming up. We're only going to get bigger onward and upward with the all new Way Back Playback.
Because there's no point in doing the show without an audience. And we love our audience. And we'd like to thank you very much. And we're back. Okay. Now, if you go back to YouTube, Parade of Champions 3, we are at 39 minutes and 9 seconds. Oh, hold on. Let me see. And I just accidentally, and it started it up again. But yeah, it's right at the commercial break. I guess that's what you'd call it, after Missy Hyatt gets attacked by that fan. Actually, it says 39:08 on here. So, okay, I've got 39:08, and I'm at a blank space, at a black screen. Jim, are you there?
We're there.
Okay, Shane, are you there?
I'm 2 seconds ahead of you, but I'm going to catch up.
Okay, I think that's doable. All right, everybody, it's a really big shoe, so let's all hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Okay, here we go. All right, yes, this is Bruiser. This is footage, I guess, from Japanese TV of Bruiser Brody getting ready to meet Terry Gordy in the barbed wire match, because this is world class and everybody has to work twice.
Yes, even on the big stadium show, everyone's working twice, and there's probably a few guys who work 3 times.
There might be, yeah. Okay, here we go. Now there's Gordy and there's Brody, and I think this is going to be about all we have of the match, but it did take place. And I'm not surprised that, I guess I'm not surprised they didn't show this on World Class TV in syndication, but there it is.
All okay, right. So then the footage just got a lot better here. And
yeah, there's Mark Lawrence. And here we go. The World Class title is on the line as Percy Pringle presents Rick Rude, the champion. And I recognize that robe.
And that belt, that's still the American heavyweight belt. They're listing it as the world title, but they haven't got the official world title championship made yet.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I think people were cutting him some slack on that.
Yeah, that'd give you an idea how far in advance this was planned.
Yeah, they had just made the jump, of course, out of the NWA.
Yes, I think Rick Rude
held the other version of the American heavyweight belt too, which is reminiscent of like the Southern heavyweight title and the Florida heavyweight title, mm-hmm. and so many others. So I think they had this one made after that, and then for the world class. So it's like there are two belts past the point when they made the switch to leave the NWA. I believe. I could be wrong.
And this is also. And this is also going on as Mid-South is becoming UWF and, you know, trying to get its own presence. And as we discussed on one of our bonus episodes, you know, Continental is, Southeastern Championship Wrestling changes its name to Continental because, you know, Continental sounds more of a coast-to-coast deal. So
everybody absolutely. Had the same Everyone idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it worked out well. Didn't it?
Yeah, worked out great for everybody. That's right. All right. Rick Rude looks great. Yeah, I'm contractually obligated to mention that Percy Pringle is actually the late Paul Bearer from WWE. So.
Yes. In case people didn't know that. And if they're listening to this show and didn't know that already, that's kind of shame on you.
If you're listening and didn't know that already, why don't you go back and listen to the first 399 episodes and catch up, and we'll still be here.
Yeah. Yeah, follow along with the concept of the program, the Way Back Playback.
I mean, you don't. Yeah, I mean, you can watch wrestling footage on YouTube without us. It is allowed.
It's illegal. Yeah. Your referee is Rick Hazard.
There you go. All right, Bruiser looks ready, man.
It's hard to believe that about just a little over 2 years past this point, Bruiser Brody's dead.
Yeah, it is. Actually, it's not good to think about at all.
Already,
very sobering. And Rude's tall. Yeah,
Yeah, Rude's 6'4". He's easy 6'4". And he's so put together, but I remember for this era, he's thin.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
It is nuts, because I remember thinking the same thing, like for him to challenge Hogan. I said, he's too thin to challenge Hogan. But he's a real ass kicker in tremendous condition, but yes. The standards were different.
Well, he's thin for this era too, especially if you include the fans. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, if he was on,
he's
TV
in tremendous
now,
shape.
He'd be a monster.
Yeah.
I mean,
timing is everything. Yes.
Absolutely. Front face locker. Ooh, going to the midsection here. He's going to get aggressive with Brody. He knows he's going to have to take the fight to the big man.
That's right.
This is not a match that's going to be won on the outside. It's going to be won in the trenches. Rick Rude was tough. There's no doubt about it here.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't New York, where every heel champion has to be a chicken coward. You know.
Correct.
Sort of. Yeah.
Tried to snapmare Brody. Brody wasn't going for it. Irish whip into the buckle. Rude just wore a size 13 in the face.
You know, the thing is with Brody, you had to earn it. You had to get in there. He would work with you, but you had to get in there and hit him a bunch, make it look good. Otherwise, you were screwed. And that's the kind of style that Rude has. So in many ways, you know, Rude was also a tough guy, and Brody's going to respect that. So in those two aspects, Rude is a great opponent for Bruiser Brody.
Absolutely. Right. And absolutely. And when you stand them up against each other face to face, they look like they'd be adversaries, which is a big thing. Oh, nice hip toss.
Yep.
Nice hit. I didn't see that coming at all. Not back to the head.
I'm trying to decide whether Bruiser Brody would be a multimillionaire in this era, or whether they'd have him like doing drop kicks and moonsaults.
They would. Yeah, I think, you know, it's crazy to think about how, when you think through the years, all the great talent that they squandered because they were trying to make them something that they weren't, and what they might have done to a guy like Bruiser Brody.
I think Brody's personality would have helped him out in that regard. He wasn't gonna, yeah. He wouldn't have tolerated. He didn't tolerate a lot of that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, a lot of the someone firing up a cigarette in the background again. Something that hasn't been allowable in most buildings for the last 25 years, but here at Texas Stadium.
Also, they're outdoors. I mean, I know that doesn't make a difference nowadays. But,
doesn't matter anymore. But yeah, again, different. Yeah, another way back.
That lady, probably the other person on camera that's going to be dead in 2 years.
Well. I didn't say that.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Yeah. Nice. Kind of a stalemate on the tackle there. Rude hits it. Oh, caught one. Birdie put his head down.
Also worth noting, Jim, she's definitely smoking menthols.
Of course.
That's the only way to go.
Okay. Yeah, ref's not even bothering to ask Brody if he gives up, so. Man's watching from all over the world.
Steps in there. Rick Hazard steps in there real closely just for a second and steps back.
There's another guy lighting up. There we go. Guy in the Braves hat.
A lot of smoking going on in Dallas on this day. Mm-hmm. Another stalemate on a tackle. Leapfrogged by the big man.
Oh,
a double thrust to the throat.
Good sell by Rude. Assuming he was selling and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if he had a lot of choice on that one.
Right.
Birdie's putting it in there. This is Texas wrestling for sure. This.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you see he got his foot hung up? Oh.
That looked painful.
Painful.
Yes.
If you've ever split yourself on the corner of the ring apron, you just experienced what Rick Reed just experienced. Mm-hmm.
That plywood down there?
Plywood. Oh, it looks like they got this. Yeah, it looks like they got the AstroTurf covered with plywood.
Yeah, they didn't want to tear up the infield.
You don't want to mess up the nice AstroTurf. Now, if they were playing, if they were having the show at Veterans Stadium, they could do whatever they wanted to that turf.
Yeah. Birdie bloody yet? Because I know he just got smacked into the post.
And he's already been through a barbed wire match at this point. So.
Which is funny, he's not bandaged.
No, he's not. All right.
Is it possible that, okay, I mean, is it possible that the barbed wire match was after this? I knew on the footage we just saw, they just spliced in the Japanese footage. Good drop kick.
It's possible because they don't always get the match order right, you know, when you look these old cards up online. So, yeah.
Yeah. Because it seems kind of hard for me to believe that Bruiser Brody wouldn't have came out of a barbed wire match with Terry Gordy without a bandage on his head for his second match against Rick Rude.
Well, maybe they did that last, you know, because you wouldn't want Terry Gordy coming in all bandaged for your main event either.
Right. Yeah. Right. Oh. I'm enjoying this match. This to me is another good example of all wrestling does not all have to be perfect and smooth.
Nope, it doesn't.
You know, sometimes you got to hit a guy when he's coming up, but he's not laying still. You know, it's if you were wanting to win something, you would.
Right, and yeah, I think I think you know, getting people used to that style is also helpful. But I mean, it's good when you know, it's nice to have cool moves, but it's good when not everything looks insanely choreographed.
Yes.
Well, and also, I would add to that point, Shane, by saying that they're also not just punching and kicking. They're having a brawl and doing more than just, you know, a Lawler Memphis, tons of punching and kicking there. You know, there's a nice variety in this brawl.
All right, he's going after Percy Pringle. I need that sport jacket. That's amazing, by the way.
Yeah. I think you already had that sport jacket.
Well, maybe at one point.
That's probably a rental, I'm guessing.
Ah.
Brody allowing himself to get distracted by
Percy. You definitely want one of those in your closet. Here. There we go. Oof. Oh, look to the eyes of Rude.
If that jacket's in your closet, that's the only thing that's in the closet. Oh, Jesus, that boot hurt.
Ouch.
Percy hauled in the hard way.
Oh, Percy.
Maybe I'll dress like that when I manage Debbie Malenko.
There you go.
There you go.
That's going to be in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
All right.
May 28th. Yes. Silver Nugget.
Oof. Rude as...
Is it a package deal on Fight TV with anything else?
I have no idea.
Okay. All right. So they're calling for the bell. I guess that's...
Match has been tossed the over-the-top rip rule.
Oh, no.
I guarantee it. That's going to be the call.
Yeah.
Look at the old Texas Ranger down there at ringside. You know, he was somewhere near the Kennedy assassination.
Well, I like that suit.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
That is a nice suit. Okay, there we go.
It's also standing next to a Gatlin brother.
That's right. Rick Rude is still your champion, folks.
You got two snorts out of your Gatlin brother remark there, Jim. That's.
Yep. Shane hasn't figured out that part of the point of the show is to crack up the co-hosts. So,
yes. Yeah, there we go. I know.
Yeah, they need the escort back there, you know? I don't trust those fans.
Well, yeah, sometimes I work a little blue, so.
Yeah.
I can.
Well, sometimes I hit, yes. Sometimes there's beeps on this show. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what they're, oh, here he goes. Brody's going after
him.
We're not. Well, if you do that, you want to make sure you do it while you're still in sight. Oh, yeah.
Look to the ass there of Pringle, and now it's breaking loose.
Oh, my goodness. All right, breaking down here in Irving, Texas. Oh.
It's amazing watching Rude. They wouldn't let him wrestle singles when he went to Crockett just a few months from now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He did very little of it. I mean, not at least not nationally.
They didn't think he was ready.
A handful of it.
Hey, he looked ready.
He was totally ready. They should have made him a single start. Really would have freshened up the car.
Let me ask you a question. That's funny that you say that, Jim, while we're here. Name two wrestlers who were national presence who you think could have helped the Crockett promotions during 86 and into 87 who never ended up being there.
Okay.
I thought about this myself here a while back, and I just wanted to get some insight. Two noteworthy stars who were available who could have freshened up the Jim Crockett cards in 86 and 87.
Well, see, the who is available is a problem.
Let's say everyone's available.
Oh, good.
Everyone except for unless they're working for Vince.
All right, Stan Hansen. That's one.
Okay.
Let's see.
I'd say Kerry.
Kerry.
Yeah, I would say. But, you know, the one that I was thinking that could have came in and been a real contributor was Jimmy Snuka. Even though he was having some drug problems, he had a good history in the Mid-Atlantic area, and he was a national star. And remember, Vern got two pretty decent years out of him, I mean, relatively speaking.
Right.
You know, I mean, just something Snuka's I thought about. Great. You know, I mean, all these people who we're listing are great.
Oh, man.
But then you've also got Snuka's issues behind the scenes, Kerry's issues. You know, I mean, you've also got a deal with, you know, employing these people too. I mean, but I agree, on camera, all three are excellent choices.
Yeah, but Bruiser Brody wouldn't hurt either.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have been helped. I think Sergeant Slaughter could have helped him. That's ultimately the problem with the Crockett promotion. By the time they got into the end of 86 and 87, it didn't suck, but it needed freshening up.
I like the guy in the front row with the yachting cap there. That's what you need to take to a wrestling show. Oh, okay, there you go.
I have that hat.
I just want to know, where's Tennille?
Busted out. Oh, there's Papa Fritz.
All right.
The ring is full. There's Mike. There's Fritz. Kevin's got his arm in a sling.
Kevin injured his shoulder, and that's why Steve Simpson is filling in for him tonight in the main event.
Wonder what was going on with Mike at this point in time. I mean, he had that well-known battle with toxic shock syndrome. Maybe Mike didn't come back until July that year. Maybe he came back on the 4th of July, but I knew he was back in action before the summer of 86 was up.
Match is very important.
He cut himself with the blade. Look at his arm.
Yep.
Somebody's got a blade on their arm.
Yeah, well, that's not the only time he's done that, so.
All right.
All right, the son of his old friend is gonna fill in for Kevin Von Erich. I think people figured that out because he's wearing his wrestling gear in there, and nobody else is.
Mm-hmm. And this was an era before they did the introductions of a guy, and then his song came on, and then he walked down the ramp and all that.
Canadian Lumberjack Elimination Match. There you go.
Let's look at all the guys on the outside who we haven't seen yet in action.
Iceman King Parsons.
There's Iceman, but who's next to him? Is that Mark Romero or Brickhouse? We saw him last week.
Yeah.
Romero we saw last week, right?
That's right.
He did the tag team match with Tatum in the grappler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is Dallas, ladies and gentlemen. Half the crew is in the ring. The other half the crew is surrounding the ring.
There you go.
I couldn't believe they draw this many people for this show. Honestly.
Well, I mean, you know, this is the last big turnout for World Class, and
by 87 it was down to like 5,000 people. I mean, they could have rented out four other sections of the stadium, you know, to other organizations, something other functions. They had just completely lost it.
Yep.
Well, it's like when you're trying to promote your kids as this wholesome white milk and, you know, all American family, and they're getting into, you know, car accidents, and they're found, you know, at the lake dead and all this other stuff. It's like people feel like they were duped. That was probably a big part of old time wrestling, was the carny, you know, we got a kayfabe, everything, you we got the fake cousin here, and that's
right.
there's the youngest Von Erich right there, Chris.
Chris.
Bring out the big weightlifting belt. Oh, my.
There you go.
That's not a weightlifting belt. It's like some kind of paddle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, we could. There we go. We can make this a Canadian Lumberjack Elimination Strap Match.
Why not? We might as well gimmick it up. Because we're not... one on Michael Hayes here.
There's not enough gimmicks in this match.
Can you over gimmick a match? You can.
Yes.
You can if it's good. You can't if it's good. If it's good, as long as if it doesn't take away from what's going on or what the point is, I think it's hard to over gimmick a match. But if it's
okay,
stings,
what about the match in CPW that I booked with Hijinx and Richie Stevens?
That was a bad idea from the start. I have to tell you that. There's 100 reasons, Patrick, why this is a lousy idea, and you didn't want to hear any of them.
Well, I didn't have to hear any of them. You left at intermission.
That's right. Well, I tried to tell you. Yeah. And all right, and we're into it.
Yeah. Hey, here we go. All right, so here we go. Terry Gordy, Terry Von Erich.
Terry still has his real foot.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the amount of tragedy in the ring at this time is just
incredible.
Almost surreal.
Yep. All right, buddy Jack.
Why have we not seen Gino Hernandez on this card? Are we going to see Gino Hernandez on this card?
I think.
No, he's dead. No, he's dead.
Yes, that would be the reason.
That would be the reason. Again, it's these Parade of Champions sometimes run together because there's so many multi guys doing multiple appearances.
Oh, look at that.
Look at that big boy on a cross body and Kerry rolled through it.
I mean, a decade later, Terry would be in the WWF and he'd be a shadow of himself.
Yeah, and another cautionary tale.
Oh, and Gino Hernandez died 3 months before this show.
Yes, that was in February of '86. Yes, we kind of covered that. I guess I had a brain fart there for a second.
It's okay.
There.
It's all right, man. Now.
You know, had Gino lived, getting back to your question, Shane, he might be a great replacement when everything went south with Tully Blanche.
Yeah, you. That's an interesting point. Gino was not a great. He wasn't the in-ring worker.
Oh, there's one man gang. Okay.
He wasn't the in-ring worker that Tully was, but personality-wise, he would have been a great fit. Just that arrogant, rich guy. You know. Yeah, I think Gino would have been a great. Yeah, that would have. Very astute observation there, Mr. Valley. Freebird Hayes.
All right. Look how thin he is.
Yeah, and think about this too. None of these guys at this point are. I think the oldest, well, besides Buddy.
Yeah.
Who was none of these guys are 26, 27 years old.
Right.
This is and this is the money they were drawing. Mm-hmm. I think Michael Hayes is 26. I think Terry Gordy's 25. Here,
That sounds accurate.
Kerry's 26 years old. Lance's birth certificate probably said he was 26 years old, but
there you go.
Or another, no one could find the original in Waldo's vault.
All right. Okay. Fritz going. Yeah. Fritz arguing with. Okay. Wow. Yeah. There's too much stuff going on outside the ring.
It's a lot of Sabada. There's that for sure. Walk that buckle. Oh. Nicely done. Nicely done.
No.
The Simpson boys weren't the best workers in the world, but I'm surprised they didn't end up like working for Vince or something just because of the
yeah.
Look.
I was amazed, but not everybody with the look worked out. That's
well, that's
thing.
True. That's true. I mean, I think within a couple months of this, Brickhouse Brown goes up and works for Vince for a spell, and that didn't work out a bit. I think we talked about that last week.
Yeah, we did.
Nice suplex by Terry. Right.
Okay. Oh, and in comes Kerry. And here comes Michael Hayes, who apparently didn't get the memo about which gear to use.
Yeah. You're supposed to bring red, Michael.
Oh, here we go. Oh, they do have straps. There you go.
They do have straps. Now, Tatum and Steve Regal, Mr. Electricity, and the Grappler all lighten up on Young Simpson.
Go, Steve, go.
Got a lot of great hairdos in this match, too.
There's the 80s, great for hair. There's some great hairdos outside the ring, too.
Yeah.
The ones in the ring are better, I got to say.
You think about this, you know, again, frame of reference. If you're watching this and you're a fan of world-class wrestling or wrestling of that period, you look at the size of this crowd and you're impressed with the size of the crowd. But if you had a stadium show today that was attended like this, they would mark it as a colossal failure.
That's true. But people are a little more wise to the, you know. People know a lot more about the business, and more or less they think about the business aspect when they weren't.
They do.
I mean,
go ahead.
Well, I think it would depend on who is running the show. Right. WWE, yeah, this would be a failure. AEW, probably. But let's say if, you know, this is still a local promotion. Let's say if GCW drew 20-some thousand, people would be pretty impressed.
That's true. But, I mean, the other impressive thing is, you know, they're in Texas Stadium, and you know, I mean, Texas Stadium was iconic. You just look at, you know, you just look at the surroundings, you know, I mean, it's not like nowadays, but you look at the surroundings here, you know which stadium you're in, which is rare.
That's true.
Yeah.
See,
that's one of the things I don't like about WWE is they always make it look like a WWE show instead of making it look through the unique aesthetics of the place that they are.
Mm-hmm.
Everything kind of looks the same.
They use the same phone booth and black taxi every time you're in London, and don't you forget it.
That's right. Every time for a decade at least. Oh no.
20 years.
Terry's out.
Terry Gordy takes out Kerry Von Erich. It's 3-2.
They did the had the belt, the double, they hung him out to dry, double clothesline him with the belt, and carries out, which is, you know.
Fritz is angry. And those are not Bugle Boy jeans he's wearing, by the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, usually carries unconscious before the match.
Ba-doom-boom.
There's a replay of the finish there. Oh, no, it took his head over tea kettle almost. Good. Look, good bump. Good bump for that finish, and Fritz probably went at the booking meeting when someone suggested that one of his boys needed to get pinned.
Okay, here we go. So let's see what Steve and Lance can do.
Yeah, I wouldn't have had my money on Kerry getting the first guy eliminated in this match. No. Of course, he's going to come back and fight the one man gang here, I believe.
All right, here we go, into the ropes. Well, this was his only scheduled match of the night, Kerry, so.
Also, yep. He didn't wrestle one man gang on this card?
No, he didn't. Not that I see here.
I thought that he did. Well, who's one man gang fighting?
One man gang was in a tag match. It was supposed to be.
We haven't seen.
The one that's not on this video, no.
Okay.
It was supposed to be Gang and Kamala against Iceman King Parsons and somebody, but Kamala wasn't there, so it was Gang and Skandor Akbar. Yeah, in a tag match.
Freebird pile driver. Oh!
Vicious. There should be no getting up from that. But there is.
Only Lance's mighty mullet protected him from.
That's true. Yes, Lance Von Erich. We did not see Lance's cousins Coy and Vance Von Erich.
You busted out all over the place. I love that.
A little bit of Dukes of Hazzard run. All right.
Somebody's beeping. Oh, it's me? Oh. Hold on. Okay, hi. Hi, Jim. Okay, hold on. Oh, Jim got disconnected from the call. Hold on a moment. Let me take care of that. Yeah. All right. Let's go. Oh, technology. I love it.
In the middle of the ring there. Freebird's buddy going after Steve Simpson here. The crowd's getting restless here watching the Von Erichs take the proverbial whipping.
They're not big fans of that, no. Okay, come on. Okay, here we go. Let's bring Jim back. All right, we're bringing Jim Valley back in. I hope.
Here it is.
Yes, here we go. Freebird's having a time of them for themselves here. A lot of strutting and strolling.
Michael doing the moonwalk. You know, things are going on.
In Lance Von Erich's book, which is pretty good, he talks about the first time he met Fritz upstairs at his office is just a cloud of smoke. Mm. And Fritz had one cigarette in his ashtray, speaking of smoking. Fritz wasn't even paying attention and lit up two and was smoking two cigarettes simultaneously.
That's a power move.
It's a great visual.
Yep.
Something you can completely believe.
All right. Oh, look, Fritz got hold of Michael Hayes. Uh-oh.
As has Brian Adidas now.
Uh-oh. Boom, oh no.
Oh, they're going to tan his fanny.
They're paddling him. Michael Hayes is getting paddled.
You know, people say wrestling is homoerotic, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, I know.
Mike Von Erickson there taking shots at Terry Gordy. This whole thing's out of control.
Just a bit. I don't see the point unless you're going to disqualify somebody and move this match along. And even then, I wouldn't recommend it.
Well, who's the booker?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, this is before he jumps to UWF.
I just think a big staple of the Texas wrestling is the out of hand nature of it. I don't think that it was ever too tightly controlled under any circumstances. You know, beyond, you know.
All right, no more interference from the Von Erichs.
You've been carded. You've been given the red card. Yep. Reminiscent of Stampede. Remember, we ought to do some of that.
That's
sometime.
Soccer, by the way. But
Stampede Wrestling had that for a while too. They had the red card, the black card, and so forth like that, in certain situations. So I think that would be fun stuff for us to do sometime too, especially on our,
on Patreon where.
Patron when people are paying for such pithy observations.
Oh yes, and by the way, if you're on our Patreon, you can have something to look forward to. Shane and I did an episode of PWF Florida from April of '89.
One of the best shows I think we did so far.
That was something to watch too.
You know what's on YouTube right now is you guys should watch some South Atlantic Pro Wrestling.
We've done that. Oh, we've done one.
We've done some of that as well.
Yes, with Big John Studd as a color commentator. So.
Then you guys would be great at that.
Yeah. Oh, and down go. Both men are down. Lance and Terry.
The best big man bump taker ever, in my estimation.
It's a shame. Oh, both men are tagging in. And here comes
Steve
Simpson.
Come on, kid. Fire up. Come on, Steve. It's time. Come on, it's time. Backdrop.
Oh, there we go. All
right. Feed.
Yeah.
No feed. He's going to block it here.
Yep. Oh, nope. Oh. Gets him over.
He didn't, but he all but had to give it to him.
Right.
He's going to block it this time.
Yep.
Oh. Oh, I think that's going to do it for Steve.
Hayes has so much chest hair, it looks like he has a mesh vest on.
Which he probably has one now made out of his hair. From
he could,
yeah. Michael Cockley tries to... One, two,
that's what you get. Three. That's a lesson for you young wrestlers. Yes. Don't get cocky, but yeah. Hey, so who had Terry and Michael Hayes being out first?
Yeah. But not me.
Yep.
Was this Michael's only match of the day?
Yes.
So Michael and Buddy only worked once. Terry worked twice. Kerry worked once.
Steve Simpson worked
Lance
twice.
And Steve. Oh, Steve worked twice. Did Lance work twice?
No, I don't think so. No.
There's a lot of confusion here on Planet Rock.
Yep, Michael Hayes has to leave.
Party City.
All right.
Bad Street. Okay, it's time.
Here we
to,
go. Time to reset.
We're down to the Freebirds, Gordy and Roberts against Simpson and Lance.
That was Brian Fontana from Anchorman in the crowd. Here we go.
80% of the time, it works every
time. Oh, got the headlock on.
Terry's trying to, they're trying to communicate something, and Terry ain't letting go until he got it right.
Right. Well, there you go.
That's all he needed, and it seemed like it took a long time to communicate that. Mm-hmm.
Either that or Terry just said, screw it, I'm going to throw myself out of the ring.
Yeah, get out of my way.
Okay. Wow, the Simpsons are there. Oh, no, that wasn't the Simpsons parents. That's Mike Von Erich's surgeon they just showed in the crowd. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Well, that was nice.
The living miracle.
Yes. Oh. All right, Buddy Roberts coming off the top. Eventually.
That's a weird sight.
Yep. There he hit it. Oh no, Lance Von Erich in with is left alone with Terry Gordy and Buddy Roberts.
Man.
Oh my goodness. All right. I don't know. Yep. I mean, Buddy looks in great shape for Buddy.
Yeah, Terry looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And now it's down to it, and Lance is going to try to defend the family honor here. And
well, I mean, to his credit, he does look like a Von Erich. It's not like they picked the guy out of the phone book, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he picked a young, good-looking guy, good physique.
Right.
He had a little. He had been in the business for a little while, but not so long that he wasn't particularly polished. No. But I think he was from the area. I think that was the problem, is like a lot of people knew that he wasn't really a Von Erich.
Yeah, that would be an issue. Still kicks out. Oh.
Oof.
Beautiful. Unless you're Lance Von Erich. All right.
Yeah, they had sent him to Portland to learn, and he wrestles under the name Ricky Vaughn, and he was a babyface and a Pacific Northwest champion.
Wow.
For about a year or so up in Portland to get some seasoning before coming back to Dallas as Lance Von Erich.
Oh my God, he's got the claw on him.
I wonder if that was like the plan all along.
Yeah, that was the plan. According
he
to
saved the Portland just so they could groom him a little bit to come back here and take on this.
Wait a minute. Okay, so he eliminated Buddy Roberts. Isn't Gordy still left in the match?
I think so.
This is what you call the definition of creative license. I think that they're using the elimination part of by throwing Gordy over the top rope.
Wait. But didn't somebody get...
I'm not saying that they mentioned it. I'm just saying that that's what visually just happened in the setup for that finish. Gordy got tossed over the top rope to the floor. Somewhere in there, they're probably counting that as eliminating Terry Gordy. I'm not saying it makes sense. Oh,
okay, but, yeah, so you eliminated by going over the top.
Okay,
yeah,
well...
A plausible explanation. Is that what they just said?
Yeah, that's what... That's what they just said, except they never mentioned this as a... They never mentioned it as part of the rules of the match, yeah. Okay.
Those are good-looking belts, by the way. I like those championships.
They are.
Yeah, they were nice.
All right, so Von Erichs and Steve Simpson are your world-class six-man tag team champions.
One Von Erich is actually a champion.
Well, yeah.
Big dropkick
Oh, yes, he got him up and over.
Yep, and David Manning just gave the sign that he was eliminated.
All right. That's it. Yep, that is it. Keith Mitchell.
That was the big ending to their major stadium show.
Yes, it was. Okay. Well, I mean, there was never a videotape of the whole show release, so this is what we have to work with.
They sold their tickets live and used it as a chance to tape TV.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I mean...
They used what they wanted to use.
Well, I mean, you're not going to get a... you got to get a big, hot crowd. That's what you want on your TV.
Sure. They definitely had... you can tell by watching this show that it had cooled.
Right.
But, I mean, they still had some good, strong support. I mean, 26,000 people. Thereabouts.
24, yep. Okay, let's... We'll be back after one of the great shows on Creative Control Network.
Do you want to go behind the scenes at World Championship Wrestling and find out what really happened from one of the greatest minds in the history of the business, the infamous booker behind WCW's success with the New World Order? Other podcasts weren't there. Let's clean up the fantasy bullshit. Give you real facts and real stories with the Taskmaster himself. Yes, this is Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan, available on the Creative Control Network.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
And we're back. Okay, so I know what everybody wants to ask here on episode 400 is what happened next? And let's get to that here. So what happened next for World Class? Well, this was the 4th and it was a Sunday. On Monday the 5th, they were in Fort Worth. On that show, Steve Simpson defeated the Grappler, and Rick Rude defeats Lance Von Erich to capture the TV title. Wow. So Rude's got the World Class belt and the TV belt. Doesn't make sense.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't think that makes sense, but okay. Let's see what
belt after that.
What's that?
Is that what happened? Did they just kind of combine the two after that?
I think it was a TV champion for long.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that's what they did. All right. Mid South Wrestling, but we didn't mention them last time. Mid South had a big show in Houston on the 9th. On that show, it was six-man tag team action. The Fantastics and Terry Taylor fight the Sheepherders and Jack Victory to a draw. And your North American champion, Jim Duggan, defeats Corsita Korchenko in the main event.
Wow.
At the Sam Houston Coliseum. All right. Monday for the World Wrestling Federation, they're all at an all-star wrestling taping in Brantford, Ontario, where they tape three episodes of their B show. On there, you could see the three episodes. British Bulldogs beat the Hart Foundation by disqualification. Dory Funk and Jimmy Jack Funk defeat SD Jones and Jim Powers. And in your third TV main event, it was Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy defeat Lanny Poffo and Jose Luis Rivera. Plus, Harley Race wasn't in a match, but they taped him being interviewed on the Body Shop. He had made his debut for the WWF the previous night in Toronto, which I somehow forgot to mention last week. Which, shame on me. Okay.
I thought you did mention it. Did he wrestle SD Jones?
Yeah, he wrestled. Yeah, he beat SD Jones. Yes.
I think you did mention it last week, buddy.
Okay, man. I need to go back and listen. Then that was good stuff.
Good times in Titan. There's also wrestling tapings, kicking back. They're watching Bundy and Studd against Jose Luis Rivera and who'd you say? SD?
And Lanny Poffo.
Oh, Lanny. Even better.
Yep. That was, well, that's Lanny's a good team right there.
Before the match.
Okay. Jim Crockett Promotions. It's Monday. They're running two shows. The A show is in Fayetteville, North Carolina, where they have your national champion Tully Blanchard defeating Ronnie Garvin. And the tag team champion, the NWA World Tag Team Champions, the Midnight Express, defeat Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA. Meanwhile,
that's two great matches.
Yep. Meanwhile, the B show is in Greenville, South Carolina, right here, where I'm recording this. It is Wahoo McDaniel versus Arn Anderson going to a draw. And in the Steel Cage main event, the Road Warriors defeat Ivan and Nikita Koloff. So, that probably
no fault in that.
Yep. Nope. All right. It's also Monday night in Memphis, which means CWA is at the Mid-South Coliseum. Superstar Bill Dundee defeats Billy Joe Travis to win the CWA International title. And in the main event, it's the Mod Squad defeating Jerry Lawler and Dutch Mantel. Well,
all right. Mod then. Squad. Love the hey. Mod Squad.
80s in Memphis. Fun times. Okay. And finally, we have the CWF in Florida. They ran Tampa on Tuesday the 6th. It was Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda defeating Lex Luger and Ron Bass by disqualification. And in the main event, it's a lights-out match where Steve Kern defeats Kendo Nagasaki by disqualification. Why would you do a disqualification finish in a lights-out match? I have no idea.
I didn't think. I thought that the whole point of a lights-out match was that there was no sanction. Yes. There were no rules.
Yeah, that's sort of the gimmick, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe somebody wrote down the results wrong. Let's hope. All right. So now it's time for the moment everybody is here for. Well, not everybody, but we're going to pick out our shows that you can vote on in our next poll. It'll be up on Twitter at RealPatMcNeil, and you know, everybody jump in. Actually, it's probably up by the time you listen to this. It might already be done by the time you listen to it. I don't know. Let's get a okay now. Normally, we'd have a listener pick in here for one of the four choices. I've given Jim Valley the list of listener-approved suggestions, and Jim's going to give us one. Dump in here.
Well,
I hope.
You know, it's coming up on summer movie season,
mm-hmm.
and I believe it was early in the summer when this movie was released, so I'm going to go with No Holds Barred.
No Holds Barred, the movie.
Yes.
And if we're feeling especially generous, we could throw in No Holds Barred the match, but okay, No Holds Barred.
I think you should do the match and the movie.
Okay, well, there you go.
Why, hello, Merry Christmas. Well, you can have a No Holds Barred Christmas.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, okay, that's one. All right, so let's see. All right, Shane, you won last time. Go ahead.
Hey, you know what? Well, I'll stick with the movie theme. What about Grunt, the wrestling movie?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I can honestly say we have not done Grunt, the wrestling movie.
And, hey, that's part of the fun. Does it always, I think Grunt, the wrestling movie is a true classic of American theater.
Mm. Okay. Well, you're the one. All right.
I'm the one.
Okay. All right. Let's.
I like to hurt people. Yeah.
We already did I Like to Hurt People. It's a classic, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's in the,
The best wrestling movie ever.
It was, yeah, that was a fantastic program, if I do say so myself. And if you're a movie buff, also you can listen to us doing Body Slam the movie, which is another classic.
Also like
fine.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we've done, okay, so that's two movies. Well, that puts the pressure on me, doesn't it? Geez, I didn't want to do a movie.
Movie season.
Yeah.
Your votes count.
Oh, geez.
You're under no obligation, Pat, to which.
No, you're right. I mean, well, my favorite wrestling movie is still Slapshot, so yeah. That's, yeah, which I do want to do that at some point, but I'm not going to put a movie in there now. All right. I'm going to be boring. You know, Jim was talking about the big WWF shows in London. Well, there's one that if you haven't seen it, it's new to you. Back on May 6th, 2000, WWF hits the hits Earl's Court in London for Insurrection 2000. It is Edge and Christian defending the tag titles against the Hardy Boys, Eddie Guerrero defending the European title against Chris Jericho, and in the main event, a triple threat match for the WWF title, The Rock versus Triple H versus Shane McMahon, and I can pretty well guarantee we're never going to see that match again. So,
oh my lord, I didn't even remember that that match took place.
Well, if you didn't
that was the all European pay-per-view, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But again, yeah. We have, I mean, 10 big matches, 3 hours, and it's gonna be another one of those episodes, Shane, where, you know, getting through the first hour of the getting through the first episode, the first hour of the show will be the rough part. All right, yeah. So as we've got all those, let's give you one more here. Hold on, it's time to spin the wheel, and as you know, or maybe you don't know, we have literally thousands of options on the big wheel, divided up into categories, and bam. And pretty much anything goes. So anything goes as long as there's a way we can access it on the network or on YouTube. So let's give the wheel a big spin. All right, here we go. All right. ECW, World Class, Mid-South Wrestling, Coliseum Video, Tuesday Night Titans, and we stop at... Oh, my goodness. Hold on. We hit the YouTube category. Yes, finally. All right, so... What classic match from YouTube that is not available on the network will we be covering? If I can get this to work, I'll tell you. Here we go. Oh my goodness, Shane. It's WWF Wrestling at the Spectrum. Courtesy of YouTube. All right,
I'm sold.
Okay. It is actually... Okay, come on, Dick Graham, shut up. All right. It is WWF, yeah. The one I had selected got pulled down for copyright issues, but we do have WWF Wrestling July 26, 1986. Oh boy. And on that card, your featured bouts. Well, let's see. It is Randy Savage defending the Intercontinental title against George the Animal Steele. It is, what we got here? Oh, a dog collar match between Junkyard Dog and Don Morocco. And in the main event, the WWF champion Hulk Hogan answers the challenge of adorable Adrian Adonis. Wow.
I was about ready to say I thought that would have been a time that Adrian challenged for the title.
Okay, so a couple of rarities and the opportunity to do movies. And, you know, I'm sure each one of these selections, except for Grunt, the wrestling movie, would be a great choice. And you should vote for whichever one you want over on, as long as Grunt's available. Seriously.
Wouldn't take a dump on No Holds Barred, but took a dump on Grunt. Oh, well, my.
I mean, No Holds Barred is pretty awful, too. I mean,
they're equally awful. I like them both. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, so, yep.
Taking a dump and grunting go together. So,
sometimes. Yes, it does.
Well played. Well played.
Good job, Jim. All right, so Jim, tell everybody what you've been up to and what you're doing and how people can keep tabs on you if they're so inclined.
Yeah, I pretty much mutter around the house like an old man. That's pretty much what I do. You can find me on Twitter at Jim Valley, so you can follow me there on I do Wrestling Observer Live. I'm back on Saturdays. You can catch it live on Sports Byline Series. Saturdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. And just catch me on WrestlingObserver.com.
All right. Or catch him outside. How about that? Jim Valley, ladies and gentlemen. Jim, thank you very much.
I need Jim Valley to help me find Twitter followers because he seems like he's everywhere and has a million of them, and I got like 15. Oh. Twitter hasn't been my friend.
Sure, I can retweet. I'll retweet you. I don't know how much good it'll do, but I'll try. Absolutely. Yeah.
Jim is at Jim Valley. Shane is at one only Shane Shad 1. And I'm at Real Pat McNeil. And, oh, by the way, you can go ahead and leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for this show over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google's Podcasts. It doesn't matter where your podcast. We can we'll take care of you. And, of course, if you'd like to know more about Terry Gordy, Michael Hayes, Rick Rude, Bruiser Brody, or Lance Von Erich, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer. Or you can go download your local library app because they're all in books. Shane.
Same way back time, same playback channel.
Yeah, we'll be back in 7 days after we recover from that great WrestleMania Backlash show. And we're going to watch a movie or we're going to watch something WWF. Either way, you'll be here, we'll be here, and that's all the people need to know. Okay, Jim, maybe we can get you back around the time we do our 8th anniversary show, which is, coming up in like three, four months, so, or sooner.
Whatever you guys need.
Okay, we appreciate it, Jim. All right, and Shane's here, and Shane, contact Shane on Twitter if you want a Wayback Playback Trucker hat.
Yes, we still have those. There's still a fair amount of supply. We're going to extend our free shipping offer the whole way through the 4th of July here while supplies last. So we want to roll them out, and that's what we're here for, is to sell merchandise and entertain the masses. So
in that order.
Buy a hat. Yes.
Okay. Also, let's see, patreon.com/waybackplayback if you want if you want another couple hundred episodes or so that you're not getting as part of the regular podcast feed, we're here for you. Until next time, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.